Let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just again want to thank you for this privilege of gathering together under the sound of your word. And we just pray that this evening, as we look into these things from your word, that you would guide and direct our hearts and prepare our thoughts, Lord, that your spirit would just lead and speak and use me to deliver the message you have me to deliver. And as was already mentioned, pray that it would affect not only the hearts of each one here, but my own as well. And we just thank you for what a loving and gracious God that you are, and for your redemptive love shown to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross of Calvary. We just ask all these things and pray in his holy name. Amen. All right. Any of you have heard these things, these messages, you'll kind of be familiar with it. You're okay, stand clear. Shocking. Beep, beep, beep. Shock delivered. Start compressions. If you heard any of those things before, you've been probably had some training with an AED or an automated external defibrillator device. Those are the messages that you would hear whenever one of those devices comes on, and you're familiar with that script. You break out the device, attach the pads, connect the pad to the terminal if they aren't already, and allow the machine to analyze the heart. And if the heart is defibrillating, then a shock will be delivered. And if not, you'll have to start CPR and begin the process of that. So the combination of CPR and the AED device is necessary to resuscitate a person who isn't breathing. And those things are used if a heart has stopped. Now, I can't relate to having my physical heart stop beating, but certainly my spiritual heart has been worn down and slowed down, and had several episodes of spiritual cardiac arrest, and that's kind of the topic that I'd like to speak about today. Maybe you have a similar experience. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now as far as a slump spiritually, and so maybe we need to get out our shock paddles out and revive us in our relationship and our spiritual walk. Maybe you're gasping for breath, or maybe you're choking on the crumbs of stale and bitter relationship in your walk with God and with other people and other believers. Maybe you're cruising on autopilot, and at the same time, you're aware that you're plunging and rapidly losing altitude and failing in your walk. Well, we need some type of an intervention if that's the kind of thing that's happening in your life. And because otherwise you're just one encounter from your heart stopping, maybe actually giving up and walking away. You know, it can happen that easily for any one of us. Now, as believers, we all need to be aware of the danger of leaving our first love of the Lord. And long ago, the church in Ephesus was busy doing many things for God, and Paul would exhort them for that. But then years later, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, we read Jesus saying to them, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. And the Lord commanded them, "Remember, therefore," in Revelation 2, verse 5, "remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Now, when a person receives Christ as his Savior, we experience a delight of the first love. We all know what that feeling is like, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that spiritual high, and you may experience that at a camp weekend or camp week or even a youth retreat or something like that. We go through the highs and lows of that, but our first love is when we first come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And God's Spirit witnesses to us that we become a child of God, and that's mentioned to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And obviously this new relationship brings a great sense of joy and freedom in our lives, and we experience that and enjoy that. Unfortunately, we are human, and we're prone to failures, and many Christians fall away from their first love. And when we don't depend on God and walk with him in the way he would have us to, allowing him to meet our daily needs, our love for God begins to grow cold. Now that can, you know, we can call that different things. You could call it spiritual apathy or coldness or indifference. You could call it a spiritual slump if you want, whatever you want to call it. There's all different ways you may experience it, but the idea being that your heart is not where it needs to be with God. And that can affect even the most sincere of us, sincere Christian at one time or another. And I'm sure each one of us have experienced different periods of that. Our human emotions being the way they are, we're so fickle and easily thrown off by our feelings and our emotions and experiences that come into our lives that can bump us along on our road. And we have these feelings of disinterest and indifference toward God that can sometimes replace the desire that we maybe used to have for the things of God. So overcoming this feeling, this attitude in our lives is obviously crucial before we get into a further problems and, our lives slip into sin or things like that. Now, I'm just going to list off a few different symptoms that might indicate that, maybe you're having a difficult time and maybe you've experienced some short little cardiac arrest. Maybe not in full cardiac arrest, but you've had little mini heart attacks. And so this would be some of the things that you might be experiencing, you can identify with. Maybe you're caught up with someone else more than you are with the Lord. Somebody else is taking more of an importance in your life. Maybe it could be your wife, could be a relationship that you really want to nurture, but the fact of the matter is that it's taking more of your attention away from the Lord, or your children, your family, your friends, your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you're just spending so much time pleasing yourself that you're not spending time with the Lord. You start losing interest in spending time in God's Word and in prayer. That's one that happens pretty quickly. You start to see these things as an obligation. You don't feel a real desire, and you don't see it as a privilege to be able to spend time with God. You feel like you're going through the motions, just living your life one day at a time, and there's no real purpose there. Your thoughts and activities in your free time do not honor the Lord. This is a tough question. How much time do you spend on leisure activities compared to the time that you spend with the Lord? That's a pretty tough one to ask yourself. It hurts a little bit. You start becoming more self-reliant. You're not seeking the Lord's will for guidance in your life. You're not willfully and cheerfully giving to God's work or to the needs of others. You cease to treat others as you would treat the Lord. You're unwilling to forgive people. Inattention to bitterness and resentments that's building up in your life. You start letting all kinds of things like criticism and rumors and side comments start taking over and start affecting the way you feel about things. You find you're quick to judge and condemn other people. You view Christ's commands and restrictions to your as restrictions to your happiness. Instead of seeing them as God's laws to help you, you start seeing these things as restrictions and things that are kind of, interfering with the way you want things to be. You fail to become a testimony and speak the word of God to others because you're afraid of rejection. You've refused to give up an activity in your life at the expense of offending somebody else. You just become indifferent to these things. You become complacent toward sinful conditions that are in your life and that are around you. You start, maybe things on TV that were bothering you before that you were offended by, you just let that slide. It's not it's not affecting you anymore. You're losing interest in meeting and fellowshipping with other believers. You're happy to just stay home and not talk to anybody else. You don't want to really kind of reveal that you're maybe going through a difficult time. Maybe you have an increased attachment to the things of this world and to materialism. Those are just some of the signs and symptoms that you might be experiencing if you're, falling away from the Lord and you're kind of losing step with Him. And I'm sure, as we mentioned, all of us have experienced one or all of these symptoms at different times in our lives and our spiritual journeys. I know I certainly have, and it's no coincidence that this is my topic this evening, because I know, just recently I feel like I've kind of been going through a bit of a spiritual drought myself, a bit of a slump. And so, I thought the Lord kind of led me to this study just to kind of renew my own spiritual life, and I hope that the things that I study tonight can maybe apply to yourself. And I hope and pray that it kind of kickstarts my own walk with the Lord. Basically, in simple sports terms, we refer to a slump. We all can kind of relate to that. Those of us who are familiar with sports, and you know, there are certain sports teams who experience that more than others. Some fans of maybe the Leafs, for example, might be able to identify with things like slumps a little more than others. But when a team or a player is going through a slump in sports, we know that they're not living up to the expectations that they're expected to perform at. You know, they're underperforming. They're not living up to the terms of their contract, and they're not in the expectations of their fans or their management. And so measures are taken to try and correct these things. You know, maybe there's more practice or less practice or maybe someone gets fired, or there's all different kinds of strategies and methods that are put into place to try and get out of the slump, to try and get back on track. And the same can be said of a spiritual slump. There's steps and methods that can be put in place that we can correct that. And you know, our slump if you're in that type of a situation, it's an indication there's a breakdown in your fellowship with God somewhere along the line, and you can be sure that it's not from God's side of things. Something has broken down from our side of things. And that's the thing. We need to identify what that is and correct it. And as mentioned in sports, if a player is going through a slump, for him to get out of that slump, it requires a great deal of effort. You know, maybe they have to do a little more practice, go to the gym a little bit more, whatever it is. And the same can be said for us. It is going to require an effort for us to, well, at any point in our walk with the Lord, we know that it requires an effort on our part. And this is nothing new. It's just a kind of a refresher of these things. So let's look at some of the ways that we can make our relationship right with the Lord. When you realize that you're slumping, and you're going through a difficult time, the first thing that you need to know is, are you saved? You know, you may be going through a difficult time thinking, why can't I get things right? Well, maybe you haven't truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to make sure of your relationship with the Lord. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So the first thing you need to realize is, are you saved? You know, is that true in your life? Are you a child of God, and can you claim these things? And if you know that you are a true believer in Christ, you need to ask yourself the question, what caused me to lose the love and passion for my walk with the Lord? What is interfering with it? And if you aren't saved, you need to experience God's forgiveness for yourself by repenting of your sin and confessing that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way for you to have access to the forgiveness of your sins. Now, one of the major causes of spiritual indifference that you might might plague a believer in their life is sin, unconfessed sin. Now, when David sinned against Bathsheba, we're all familiar with Psalm chapter 51. If you want to just turn to that, refer to that for a moment here. When David sinned, he obviously felt separated from God, as we read in verse 11. It says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." So we see in the psalm, we're not going to go through it all, but you know, we're familiar enough with this psalm that David was very sorry for the sins he had committed, and he acknowledged it before the Lord. And there was a separation. There was an interference with his relationship with God because of his sin. And as he confessed his sin to God, he prayed in the next verse, in verse 12 of chapter 51, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Now that's one of the first things I think that you start to feel as you draw away from the Lord, is that you start to lose a joy for your salvation, your joy of your relationship with God. And it's so easy for that to happen in our day-to-day lives as we just go about our business of whatever it may be, and it's easy for us to just get caught up in all kinds of things and just lose our way and our love for the Lord. And he asks the Lord to uphold him by his generous spirit. Now, if you're in a situation where you're feeling, you know, maybe it isn't a specific sin in your life, but even if just the whole fact that you are indifferent to these things, that's something that you need to confess to God. You need to confess your attitude to God that you are indifferent towards him, right? Because you think about all of the great things that God has done for us, and for us to have an indifferent attitude, that is a sin towards God. We're supposed to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And if there is sin in your life that you know is causing an obstacle, then we need to confess that to God too, because we know he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And don't let it hold you back. You know, sometimes you get bogged down in your sin. But don't let that affect you. Just accept God's forgiveness and move on. Keep short accounts with God. Another cause of spiritual indifference could be just allowing empty tradition to replace your true love for the Lord. And that's kind of what was happening to the Ephesians, as we read about in the passage in Revelation chapter 2. Now, we're supposed to be marked by obedience and a love for the Lord. That should be what characterizes our actions and why we do what we do. In John 14:21, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So when we love the Lord Jesus, we obey his commandments out of a love for the Father. But it is possible for us to obey without love. Sometimes you just, again, go through the motions, and you're just doing things for the sake of doing them. And, you know, you cling to the truth and serve God, but you do it in a lifeless fashion. And that's really not what God is asking of us. And the Lord's condemnation of the Ephesian church in Revelation 2:4 says, again, "You have forsaken the love that you had at first." And they were kind of just going through the motions, as Paul commended them in Ephesians chapter 1. And now, about 30 years later, he's telling them that they've left their first love, and they've got to come back. And maybe they kind of lost a desire to serve him. The thrill of first coming to know the Lord, the adventure, and all of that was starting to lose its thrill, and things were becoming boring, and they were kind of losing sight of the eternal purpose. And maybe that's the case for you. Maybe you're just going through the motions, and we need to kind of renew our passion and our love for the Lord Jesus and for Christ, for all that he has done for us. So what is the solution in these things, and how do we turn things around? Well, you know, there's three things we want to do. We want to remember and repent and do the first works, as was mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Consider how far you have fallen." You know, remember, think about all that who you are and where you came from. Repent and do the things at first. And we need to put these things in place. So recalling our salvation experience is an important step for us in renewing our relationship and our love for the Lord. Sometimes it's so easy for us, especially I find I know for myself, you've grown up in the church and you've heard these things over and over again. It's nothing really new. And I know, I feel that way sometimes for the youth who've always grown up in the assembly, that, you know, it's kind of, it can become very common to us, and just becomes, it doesn't really sink in the depth of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And when you think back to your salvation experience and how the Lord Jesus saved you from your sins and who God really is, you know, that stuff really should affect us, and it should draw us to a closer and a closer desire to know him and to be in a relationship with him. And we need to have a greater sense of what we were, so realizing how sinful we are and how holy God is and all that he has done to bridge that gap through the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about how your relationship when you first knew the Lord. Are you cooler toward God and less passionate about spiritual things than you once were? And you want to think back to those times when you were in close relationship with the Lord, when you felt that warmth and that closeness in your relationship with God. and understand that you can get back to that place. God wants to bring us back to that place, and he desires to have fellowship with us. So think about your salvation experience consider it come back to that and just be thankful to God for all that he's done for you and live your life for him. And then you need to repent about our indifference to God, as I already mentioned. You need to admit to God that, you know, you're going through a difficult time in your life. You know, talk to God honestly. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear honest communication with us. And let him know you're going through a difficult time and admit that you're having a difficult time. And then we want it, in repentance, we know involves a change of mind and a change of heart. So change your attitude and the direction that you're going in, and forsake whatever it is that's drawing you away, some of these symptoms that we talked about, the thoughts and attitudes and actions that have, whatever it is that's drawing you away from the Lord, whatever obstacle is between you and your fellowship with God, that's taking you from that, and return to your first love. And then, when you repent or confess these things, it's important, as I mentioned before, you want to accept God's forgiveness. Don't dwell, don't let it bog you down, your past experiences. Sure, you might have let God down. We all have, and we all will. And there's, we're never going to be perfect until we're with the Lord in eternity, and we're going to make mistakes. But God is willing, faithful and willing to forgive us, and accept that forgiveness and move on and just start serving and praising him and living for him. Now, we want to talk about the idea of the first works and how that can be played out in our lives. Not that we have to work, we're not working for our salvation, it's just that how do we continue on in after we've remembered and repented and now we move on and carry on, how do we live our lives for the Lord in a way that will keep us from getting cold and losing interest in these things? Well, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, the next verse after, says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place." And in this passage, the word first means foremost in time, place, order, or importance. So, and the word works is defined as toil, as in an effort. So in other words, if you find that you've left your first love for the Lord, get your priorities back in order and do the most important things. So, these are the first things we need to do and put in the effort towards doing them. So, from the definition of the word work, we know that work requires an effort, as I already mentioned. And it is going to require an effort. The Christian walk is not an easy one, and it does require some effort on our part. You think of someone that you might admire as a godly person. You think, oh, I wish I could be like that person. Well, you can wish all you want. It's not going to happen unless you put in those people that you see as a godly person, someone who, we hear them expounding from the scriptures. That didn't just come naturally to them. They weren't just born with that knowledge of the scriptures. They have put in a lot of effort towards that, and that's something that we have to have a same desire. You have to put in an effort. If you want to have a relationship and a closeness with God, you need to put forth the effort. You need to spend time with Lord Jesus daily to be able to draw close to him. You have to have a relationship with him, just like you have any relationship with any other friend. You can't develop a relationship without actually spending time with him. So some of the things that, just a few little items that we can do in this regard, and the first one is an attitude of worship, and the whole idea of worshiping God. And one of the ways we can bring glory to God is to cultivate our joy for worship and our love of him by worshiping him. Like I already mentioned, it's kind of the same thing we talked about, just to consider God and all that he's done for us, to consider the works of creation, just realizing who God is. Wayne mentioned a verse this morning in 1 Samuel 12:24. I love that verse. I don't have it written down here, but I'll just read it because it's such a great verse. Just reminds us of what a great God we serve. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart." Why? "For consider what great things he has done for you." We serve an awesome God who has given us access to all the benefits through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for, and we should be worshiping him, adore him, and sing praises to him. Bless his name. And then read Psalm chapter 103. It's just full of great praise and adoration for what a great God we have. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Those are the things we want to desire, just to spend time, you know, considering him and what a great God he is. And when we have a worshipful attitude towards God and are thankful for all that he's done for us, you know, that's going to give you a bit more of an appreciation of him and a real desire to serve him. Next thing we want to consider is the idea of prayer. And we heard a lot about that if you were at prayer meeting Wednesday night. And I know he mentioned it also when he was here on Sunday. When Wade was here, he was talking about a prayer closet. I mean, that is one example. That's his idea of spending time in prayer with God, and it's valid. But the idea is that we need to create time to spend with God in prayer. Wherever it is, it doesn't really matter. But the idea is that you need to find time to spend speaking to God in prayer and acknowledging what's going on in your life. God wants to hear from us, and so we want to spend time with him in prayer. And whether it's, we know we have an example from the Lord Jesus that he spent time with God, and it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I mean, if the Lord Jesus did that, why shouldn't we? Obviously, I mean, it goes without saying that we should be spending time with the Lord in prayer. And so maybe you don't have a magnificent mountain to climb up on top of and pray like the Lord Jesus did when he went away up in the mountains to pray to God. But, you know, we all have our own little time when we can do that. Maybe it's on your ride to work in the morning or on the school bus. You know, it might be a little noisy, but maybe you have an opportunity when, you know, it's just with just you and the Lord. You know, turn the radio off, turn your phone off. You know, whatever it is, that's the thing. We need to unplug sometimes and plug into God and what he, and speak to him and communicate with him. And make that a special time each day in your life. And, you know, there's aspects of prayer that are all important that remind us of our dependence on God. You know, we bring petitions to him to mind the spiritual, emotional, and physical needs that you have each day. When we talk to God about those things and the resources that can't meet these needs. You know, we need God's intervention sometimes, so we want to just speak to him about those types of things. We ask God for things and bring them before him. And those requests reveal our motives. So, like, are those things advancing God's kingdom? Are we requesting things so that we can honor God, or are we just doing it for ourselves? That's important. We want to be in the attitude of confession. And that's, you know, maybe it's about confessing sin, or maybe it's just confessing attitudes. But that kind of shows us of our unworthiness before God, and just helps us to appreciate his mercy and his grace and his love for us when we do that. And then we have opportunity to be thankful in prayer, and just reflects an understanding and our dependence on God. And we thank him for the specific needs. Be thankful. You know, when God answers prayer, we should be thankful to him for that and acknowledge those things. And then we intercede on others' behalf. So we have that great privilege of being able to pray for other people. And so there's just so many different aspects of prayer that are important in our relationship with God and how we interact with him. And so just one other item that we can do. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, a familiar passage, says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Next, we have the study, memorization, and meditation of God's Word. Obviously a vital component in our relationship with God as we communicate. That's how he communicates to us. He's given us his Word, and the whole idea is, we want to eat well. We're thinking back to the example of the heart. And when, you know, we're not talking about the heart here, obviously, but when you think about what you're putting into your heart and examining the time that you spend and what you do and the activities that you do and what you're putting into it, what you're looking at, what you're listening to, what you're watching. You know, our physical heart has limits when we're putting things into our bodies that, you know, might not be good for us. And, you know, we have things can happen. And, You can't have a diet full of carbs and fat and salt, or else you're probably going to have high cholesterol, or you're going to have different things that are going to affect you. And the same happens in our spiritual lives. If we're filling our hearts with things that are against God and the things that are honoring to Him, it's going to affect our heart's condition. And so we need to be filling our hearts with things that are honoring God and be careful of what's going in there. And that's going to affect your attitude about God's word too. If you're filling your heart with the things that are displeasing to God, you're going to have less of an appetite for these things. It says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what we need to be feeding on, God's word. The reading and studying and memorizing, which we're all very familiar with this. We've been reminded time and time again of the importance of it. But again, it's a matter of doing it. It's a matter of putting it into practice. Now, we know that reading and meditating God's word will cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, as says mentioned in 1 Peter 2:2. And the awareness of your need for God will fuel your desire for His word. And as we continue to depend on Him and are thankful and work in our worshipful attitude, that's going to just fuel our desire to know more about Him and have a greater desire to know what His plan is for our lives. And the more you read and get into it, the more you're going to want. Another item that we should be focusing on in our in helping us to get out of our spiritual slump is the whole idea of Christian fellowship and just being together and gathering together and seeking encouragement from each other. Because one of the things that seems to happen when we start getting into a coldness of heart and a slumping attitude is that we tend to want to withdraw from other people, because it affects your conscience. You start to feeling a little bit guilty sometimes, and you start thinking that everybody else is doing great and you're not doing so great, so you want to withdraw from other people. And that's a difficult thing, because then you're just going to it's going to only be harder and harder to come out and to fellowship with other people and get the encouragement that you need. And Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're encouraged to spend time together and to be an encouragement to each other. We know that the Lord Jesus, didn't come into this world and live as a hermit. He fellowshipped. He was around people all the time. He had a whole group of friends, his disciples that he spent time with, and he demonstrated that the best life must be done in around community of friends and other people. And we are not expected to live this life alone, and the Lord doesn't call us to be a solitary person and to not associate with other people. We want to make yourselves friendly, and maybe it's an encouragement too to find a friend that you can rely on, somebody that can give you a spiritual encouragement. You want to make sure that the friends that you are associating with are going to be an encouragement to you, are going to build you up. So make it an effort to find that, even if it's one person in your life that can be an encouragement to you, that can kind of, someone that you can be accountable to as far as your spiritual walk is concerned, that can kind of help you along the way. And you're each going to go through ups and downs sometimes, but you need to have someone that you can rely on, that you can be honest with and open with, and that's going to really encourage you. And that's a good thing. It's hard to do sometimes, especially for guys sometimes, to open up and to be vulnerable with each other and to admit sometimes that we're kind of having a tough time. But it's important for us to we don't have to rely on our own strength. First, well, obviously we need to rely on the Lord, but we have each other as a resource and as a friend to help each other. So we should do that. And it says in John 15:15, but I have called you friends, for all that I have from my Father I have made known to you. We are friends. The Lord Jesus had friends, and we're supposed to be to have friends in the Lord, and that's an encouragement for us to fellowship with each other. And another couple of little things that I'll just mention too that can be an encouragement to us is just in the way that we give and serve, is that it's just these attitudes of giving and serving are attitudes that should exemplify a believer. And so we should When you have that attitude of giving back and serving the Lord, that can, again, give us a real desire to carry on and do. We know that that's what the Lord expects of us. So by doing these things and being obedient to God's commands, it will spur us to go on. Want to read one little quote here before I just wrap it up here, and it's a little bit old wording because it's by Charles Spurgeon, but the idea behind it is good, and it's called spiritual numbness. And Isaiah 48:8 is the verse that he quotes. It says, "Surely you did not hear, surely you did not know, surely from long ago your ear was not opened." It is painful to remember that in a certain degree, this accusation may be laid at the door of believers who too often are in a measure spiritually insensible. We may well bewail ourselves that we do not hear the voice of God as we ought. Yea, thou heardest not. These are gentle motions of the Holy Spirit in the soul which are unheeded by us. There are whisperings of divine command and of heavenly love which are alike unobserved by our laden intellects. Alas, we have been carelessly ignorant. Yea, thou knewest not. These are matters within which we ought to have seen, corruptions which have made headway unnoticed, sweet affections which are being blighted like flowers in the frost, untended by us, glimpses of the divine face which might be perceived if we did not wall up the windows of our soul. But we have not known. As we think of it, we are humbled in the deepest self-abasement. How must we adore the grace of God as we learn from the context that all this folly and ignorance on our part was foreknown by God, and notwithstanding that foreknowledge, he yet has been pleased to deal with us in a way of mercy. Admire the marvelous sovereign grace which could have chosen us in the sight of all of this. Wonder at the price that was paid for us when Christ knew what we would be, what we should be. He who hung upon the cross foresaw us as unbelieving, backsliding, cold of heart, indifferent, careless, lax in prayer, and yet he said, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." O redemption, how wondrously resplendent dost thou shine when we think how black we are. O Holy Spirit, give us henceforth the hearing ear, the understanding heart. Now, just in closing, I just want to encourage, we know that Satan loves us to be cold of heart and indifferent towards these things. Nothing he loves more than an indifferent Christian who is useless for the Lord. This whole attitude of, I guess you could almost call it, too, the attitude of lukewarmness, which we know displeases the Lord, too. So, when you're in this type of a situation, when you're cold of heart, indifferent to the things of the Lord, you're going to open yourself up to temptations of the old nature and the world that are going to be bombarding you. You're going to become more susceptible to those things. So never lose the sense that God is with you. God wants us to have a close relationship with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." We don't have to do it in our own strength. God is there to help us. We can be an encouragement to each other. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior in your life. Submit to him and repent. If you're going through a difficult time, confess it to the Lord. Repent of an indifferent attitude towards him and come back into a right relationship with him so that you can serve him and that he can use you mightily for his kingdom. And that's all I have. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we just again, we thank you for your patience and your long-suffering and your mercy towards us. We know, Father, that it's easy for us to lose sight of what really matters and what really counts in this life, and that's bringing glory to your name. And Father, we just ask that you would help each one of us to have a renewed desire, help us to have experience the joy of our salvation, realizing what a gracious and loving God that you are, knowing that you've saved us from the slave market of sin, from a lost eternity, hopeless, in hell, where we deserve to be. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you, to live for you. We thank you for the word of God that you've given to us so we can learn about you and grow in our walk with you, with the access to you we have in prayer, and just the fellowship that we have with other believers. We've just been blessed with so many spiritual blessings that we take for granted. And I don't know if it's because of the world we live in today, the society that we live in, where things are so easy for us, we're so distracted by things around us. Help us to return to our first love, that we might just enjoy the Lord Jesus, enjoy our salvation and our relationship with you, and have a desire to have that to grow and to blossom, that we might live for you and look forward to your return and serve you until that day comes. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. I pray that you would just help us to be obedient to these things in your word and put them into practice. Again, it's easy for us to just hear these things and let them slide off, and just pray that you would just help us to just take it seriously, our walk with you, and this privilege that we have of serving you. And just, we again want to thank you so much for the salvation that we have. And we pray that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that is lost in their sin still and just fumbling around and isn't experiencing the peace and the joy of their sins forgiven, that you would just do a work in their heart, that they would confess you as Lord and Savior and repent of their sins. We just pray all these things, ask you to watch over us as we go our separate ways, and be with us as we go into the world. Help us to be a light and an example for you. In your name we pray. Amen.